good to see everyone this morning. Man, what an honor. What an honor it is to come again and sit and learn and to worship. Listen, the God all by himself, all powerful, all magnificent, don't need no one. How many know we need him? All of him. And what he wants in return, just all of us. Just what the last song we were saying, all he wants is for us to love him wholeheartedly with everything that is in him. I'm excited about this morning. So excited. We'll go ahead and get started with our Torah teachings and his understanding, his likes and his dislikes. And we are in Torah portion 17 and his Jethro in English and his Hebrew for the name Jethro, his excellency or his abundance. And the Torah is Exodus 18, 1 through 20, 23. And the half Torah is Isaiah 6, 1 through 13. I won't read the topics because I want to read the passage, the Exodus 18, 1 more time, all the way through the whole chapter. They can't see? All right. I'll make it bigger for them. I want to read it because it's just, we didn't get very far. I say we didn't get very far. Pastor did do the whole Torah, the whole chapter. He did do it. And you're going to see, as you're probably going to hear me say some things that he done said. But we stopped right around verse 7. Almost finished verse 7. So we got to get started. And Jethro, Exodus 18:1, the priest of Midian, Moshe's father-in-law, heard of all that Elohim had done for Moshe and for Yisrael, his people, that Yehovah had brought Yisrael out of Mizraim. And Jethro, Moshe's father-in-law, took Zipporah, the wife of Moshe, after he had sent her back. And her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. The name of the other was Eleazar, for he said, the Elohim of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moshe's father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moshe in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of Elohim. And he said to Moshe, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. And Moshe went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other about their welfare, and they went into the tent. And Moshe told his father-in-law all that Yehovah had done to Pharaoh and to the Mishrites for Yisrael's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how Yehovah had delivered them. And I just thought about that. What a story he had to tell them. And just like it was mentioned last night, there's nothing better than getting it from the person that went through it and been through it. Because he ain't going to leave out no details. He's going to give you the exact detail of everything that happened. If you get it from someone else is going to forget it. Or they even might add to it. But when you get it from the person that been through it, that actually walked it and lived it, there's nothing, you can't get a better story than the person that it happened to. And just, I thought about, wow, what a story that he must have had. What a conversation. Think about all what Moshe had been through up to this point. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good which Jehovah had done for all for Yisrael, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Mishrites. And Jethro said, blessed be Jehovah, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Mishrites and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Mishrites. Now I know that Jehovah is greater than all the mighty ones. Indeed, in the matter in which they act proudly above them. Then Jethro, the father-in-law of Moshe, brought an ascending offering and other slaughterings unto Elohim. And Aharon came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with the father-in-law of Moshe before Elohim. And it came to be on the next day that Moshe sat to rightly rule the people, and the people stood before Moshe from morning until evening. And when the father-in-law of Moshe saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit by yourself and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? And Moshe said to his father-in-law, because the people came to me to seek Elohim. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I rightly rule between one and another, and make known the laws of Elohim and his Torah. And the father-in-law of Moshe said to him, what are you doing? What you are doing is not good. But you and these people will with you shall certainly wear yourselves out. For the matter is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it by yourself. Now listen to my voice. Let me counsel you, and Elohim be with you. Stand before Elohim for the people, and you shall bring the matters to Elohim. And you shall enlighten them concerning the laws and the Torah, and show them the way in which they shall walk and the work which they do. But you yourself seek out from all the people able men. Notice what he says, able men. We're going to talk about that. He couldn't just pick anybody he wanted to. Not just any man. You got to pick able men. Able men that's in the truth. Able men that's doing the Torah. Pick able men. Able men that's loving Elohim, loving Yehovah the same way you loving Yehovah. Walking in the same path that you walking in. And place these over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they shall rightly rule the people at all times. And it shall be that they bring every great matter to you, but they themselves rightly rule every small matter. So make it lighter for yourself, for they shall bear with you. If you do this word, and Elohim shall command you, then you shall be able to stand, and all this people also go to their place in peace. And Moshe listened to the words of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moshe chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they rightly ruled the people at all times. The hard matters they brought to Moshe, but they rightly ruled every small matter themselves. And Moshe sent off his father-in-law, and he went away to his own land. Right here is where we stop. It says, Moshe knew he was coming, as a messenger must have been sent by Yitro informing Moshe of their arrival. And Moshe goes out to meet him, and he was also eager, I am sure, to see his wife and sons. But he went out to meet Yitro, as he saw Yitro as his superior and his father and teacher. If you remember, Moshe also asked Yitro for permission to go to Mizraim, even after the burning bush experience. A sure sign of respect and humility of a man who knew what submission to authority means. Leviticus 19:32. Rise up before the gray-headed, and you shall find favor in the face of an old man, and shall fear your Elohim. I am Yehovah. Moshe did rise up before the gray-headed and favored the face of Yitro, showing a great reverence and fear for Elohim, even though he too was possibly gray-headed himself at 80 years of age. Notice, he didn't, you know, even though he was up in age, his father-in-law maybe 15, 20, 30 years older than him, he still had that respect. Still had that respect for his father-in-law. Something that this world needs today. Because we have people that don't respect elders no more. They have no respect for an elder. None. They'll look at them and tell them to flip off at the mouth at the drop of a hat before the hat can hit the ground. They'll just tell them a peace of mind. But the Torah don't teach us that. It says we should have respect for our elders. No matter how old we think we are, even if we're up in that age and we still have an elder older than us 10, 15 years, you still respect them. You give them the respect that they deserve. But we have lost that. The world has lost that. They went into the tent, which in itself is a profound statement, showing a symbolic reverence to the teaching or studying of Torah and meeting in Yehovah's presence. Yitro was a descendant of Midian, who was a son of Abraham, with his wife Keturah, which he took after the death of Sarah. So we see that Yitro was Semitic, as well coming from the line of Shem. And it was widely understood that Shem's tents are where the ways of Yehovah was learned. So even though Moses was 80 and the father-in-law was whatever age he was, they still was being learned, taught. They didn't come to, well, I'm this such and such this age. You know, I'm 80, I'm 90. I done got it all. You can't teach me nothing no more. No, at 80 years old, he was still willing to be taught. What a lesson for us to learn today. No matter how old we are, you still can be taught something. Especially when it comes to the Torah. We can be doing this 100 years from now. And guess what? We're still going to be learning something new every time you get in it. Never too old to be taught by Yehovah. Especially when it comes to Yehovah and his word. I don't care if you're 140. There's something new in here you can learn every single day. Every single day. Never too old to learn from this. By taking Yitro into the tent, Moshe was showing that he too was still willing to learn. Listen, you can go in the tent, but if you're not willing to learn, you're wasting your time. You got to be willing to learn. There's a big difference. Moshe could have went in that tent all day, every day. But if he wasn't willing to learn, then he wasn't getting nothing out of it. No different than us coming here today, or every Shabbat, or every Bible study. If you're not willing to learn, listen, you're wasting your time, because you ain't wasting mine, because I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn something from it, I promise you. I learned something this morning going over this thing. It gets on you. It brings out your imperfections. It lets you know when you shouldn't be saying something and when you should say something. Listen, I thanked them this morning when that thing got on me. I thank them for correction because I need it. Because that's his understanding, his likes and his dislikes. And I want to walk perfectly before him. Or give him my all to try to walk perfectly before him. Even at 80 years of age, being teachable, and this is where Yitro came to teach him something about leadership. Verse 8. See, I told you I almost did verse 7 last night. Moshe told Yitro, but he covered all of it. He always does. Moshe told Yitro all that Yehovah had done. Even though Yitro had heard about it, he now had the first-hand witness and testimony, and not mere hearsay or gossip. Listen, we getting the first-hand witness and testimony every Shabbat, every Bible study. We're not getting this hearsay or gossip anymore. We're getting it straight from the witness himself, straight from Moshe himself, straight from the Torah himself, straight from Yehovah himself. We're getting it. This speaks a great deal for us, too. We have Moshe, the Torah, as a firsthand testimony and witness, and we should not simply take the hearsay or twisted gossip that is erroneously being taught, which many sadly are doing and are rejecting to come into the tent of teaching and hear the words of Moshe, that is the Torah, instructions, and witness of Yehovah. You know, We bought the gossip and the erroneously taught. Because for years, we never ever went back and checked it out. We just took the man that was up here saying it word for it. We bought the gossip. The erroneously teaching, being taught. Never went back to check it for ourselves. And we had it the whole time, the witness, the whole time we had it. Nobody's fault. Can't blame the pastor's fault. Saying it was him? No, it was us. Because we ain't never went back and checked it. We took it as it was, you know, as it was Yehovah himself up here speaking. Verse 9 through 11. Yitro rejoiced at the words he heard from Moshe and praised Yehovah and acknowledged the greatness of Elohim. that there were no other mighty ones beside him. That there were no other mighty ones besides him. Listen, I'm so thankful that he is God all by himself. Because listen, like Sister Connie said, there are many gods in this world today. Many. But only one can deliver like he delivered. Only one took me out of my sin, my mire, my mud, my muck, and put me where I'm at. I can call on many, many, many mighty ones, and none of them could save like he saved. None of them could deliver. None of them could heal. None of them could protect. None of them could provide. But God all by himself, the only one. And yet through, after hearing all what Moshe did, all what Moshe came through, he knew there's only one that could have done that. He is a priest of Midian, who by all accounts we can recognize that he had returned to the ways of Shem and his forefather Abraham, which he was now an in-law of Moshe, or better understood as one who was in covenant with Moshe by faith, and he now had definite proof that Yehovah truly is Elohim at the witness and testimony of Moshe. He had definite proof. We have definite proof this morning that Yehovah is truly the Elohim by the witness and testimony of Moshe. That's what the Torah is, the witness and testimony of Moshe. We got that same proof. So listen, you think that we should be rejoicing? We got the same thing. We got the same story. It's not that, oh, Moshe is telling Yitro some story that we don't have. We got the same exact story. And he said he rejoiced. I think we need to rejoice every single day. Every single time we get to come here and sit in his presence, we need to rejoice for what the same story that Moshe told Yitro, we get. That he is God all by himself. Besides him, there is no other. Those today who reject Moshe, the Torah, and are unwilling to come into the tent of the presence of Yehovah, that is, wherever he has caused his name to be remembered, being his body assembling together to hear the Torah, which happens on Shabbat, which we will look at in chapter 20 of this portion in about 3 or 4 years, reveal that they are not walking in the covenant, because we ain't getting to 20 today, I promise you. Nowhere near it. One day, though, one day we will. Listen, it might not be today, and it might, hopefully, it isn't 3 or 4 years, but one day, the Torah teacher himself, we're going to get chapter 20. Oh, boy, let me tell you, it's going to be better than what me and Pastor can break it down for y'all. I promise you. That's a promise we have, that one day the Torah teach himself, we're going to sit in his presence, and he's going to teach it. Yitro rejoiced for all the good which Yehovah had done for Yisrael. And the Hebrew word that is used here for rejoice is yada, which comes from the root verb hadah, Strong's H2302, which means to rejoice, make him joyful, make glad and gladden. How is your response when hearing the good news of the good and the deliverance that Yehovah has done for others? How is your response? Is it, are you rejoicing? Or is it, why I'm not getting that? Or why he's not doing that for me? Says Yitro rejoiced. Should we be rejoicing when we hear the good news? Absolutely. Look, this is the part that got to me. Because you know what I thought about? We might not say, okay, you might say, well, I don't feel that way. Well, how about when you hear the good news and the thought come in your mind, or you might even say it, we're going to see how long this is going to last. Is that rejoicing? That what got on me this morning. Because I can remember making those statements. Yeah, I did. That's not rejoicing when I heard of somebody coming to Yehovah. And listen, don't even matter if they're coming here. As long as they're going somewhere, does that mean they're not saved because they're not coming here? No, they're still saved. They're still saved. Because let's remember, we was there and we still were saved. We still were saved. I don't matter if he's going up the road church or down the road church or this church. He's still saved. We still rejoice. Not say, well, we're going to see how long this is going to last. Listen, this teared me up because I said that. And I thank him for that correction because I don't never want to say it. Or you might even say, well, you thought it. And then, I'm not going to say that. Well, you might as well say it because you just thought it. What's the difference? No, it says rejoice that Yehovah, what Yehovah has done for others. Rejoice that they're not in the spot that they used to be. Rejoice that they got a chance to make it. Told you I was going to hit him with that roundhouse this morning. Do you rejoice at the good report of deliverance that is heard? The Hebrew word, maybe I should roundhouse myself first. Before I came down there. The Hebrew word that is translated here as delivered comes from the root verb nasal, Strong's H5337, meaning to strip, plunder, deliver oneself, be delivered, snatch away, deliver, recover, or escape. This is also written in the causative hip-hill form, which can render the meaning to take away, snatch away, to rescue, recover, to deliver from enemies or troubles or death. To deliver from sin and guilt. Listen to Psalms 18:17. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those hating me, for they were stronger than I. He delivered me. Why? Because you couldn't deliver yourself. It took someone mightier than you to deliver you. So you think we should rejoice when we hear something good because he delivered them? Absolutely, because you was in that same spot. Just remember where you was at. You couldn't deliver yourself, but he delivered you. So we should rejoice when we hear of someone coming into the fold. No matter where they at, no matter what church they go to, you rejoice over it. You give him the praise because he delivered you. He delivered me. He delivered you. I couldn't deliver myself and you couldn't deliver yourself. It took an all superior from the strong enemy. Listen, the enemy has had strongholds on a lot of lives. I tried it for a long time and I couldn't do it. It took someone stronger than the enemy to deliver me. This is exactly what Yehovah had done for Yisrael and Yithro. Rejoice when hearing this report from Moshe. And he said, blessed be Yehovah who has delivered you out of the hand of the Midianites. The Hebrew word that is translated as blessed is Baruch and comes from the root word Barak, Strong's H1288, which means to kneel down, bless and abundantly bless. When was the last time we did that? When was the last time I knelt down and abundantly blessed the man upstairs, Yehovah himself, for delivering me? And literally carries the meaning to kneel or bow down, to show respect, to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect. The ancient pictograph script has the Hebrew word for bless, Barak, Strong's H1288, pictured as follows, the bet, the resh, and a kaf. The bet, the ancient script has this letter, as which is pictured as a tent floor plan and means house or tent. It represents family and the importance of those who are out inside the tent as opposed to the tent structure itself. The resh, the ancient pictograph script has this letter pictured as the head of a man and carries the meaning of top, beginning, and first, and chief, as in being the top of their body or the head of a tribe and the one who rules. and also speaks of possession or inheritance that is decided by the chief. The kaf, the ancient script has this letter pictured as, which is a picture of an open palm of a hand and can symbolize that to which submission is given under the hand. Once again, we are able to clearly see who it is who blesses us. The house assembly of Elohim is blessed as the head chief comes down and extends his open and revealed hand to his own. The house, us, the assembly, us. And we see who's the one who does the blessing. It's Yehovah himself. The hand of Yehovah had been revealed as he came to destroy the enemies of his covenant people. And at this good report, Yethro rejoiced and blessed Yehovah, the deliverer of Israel, who he acknowledges greater than all other mighty ones. The priests of Midian. Verse 12, Yethro brought ascending offerings. Yethro brings an ascending offering and other slaughterings. How did he know what to do? He had to get knowledge from somewhere. How did he know what to bring? And that Yehovah would accept it. How did he have the insight unless he was taught in the ways of Yehovah and study his Torah? How would we know what to bring unless we are taught by his Torah, taught by Yehovah and studied his Torah? How would we know the things that he liked and disliked, that he loved or hate, unless we study his Torah? Here we see Yisrael having been brought out of slavery and had possibly not done any ascending offerings or slaughterings to Yehovah since the days of Yosef, when the family of Yaakov was brought to Mizraim, as we can see by how many instructions were given with regard to the Pesach lamb. Think about it, because when that new Pharaoh rose, he could have cared less who Yosef was. He wasn't going to let them serve the God that they wanted to serve. No, they was going to serve him and their many gods that they had. So there wasn't no slaughtering going on. There wasn't no ascending offerings going on. He had cut all that out. It was nothing but hard labor. Brick layers. There wasn't no farming going on. He was making them live to his standards, not Yehovah's standards. These were bricklayers, not farmers, who were not accustomed to slaughterings. Aharon was there and no doubt was watching very carefully, as he would soon be the officiator of the offerings to come. By eating bread together with Yethro in the presence of Yehovah, we can see the confirmation that Yethro had in fact come into covenant relationship with Yehovah. Aharon was the next man, the next high priest, next up to be the high priest. So he knew. He knew that if something wasn't right, he couldn't have invited the elders to come sit and eat, because he would have never done it. He would have never done it. Verse 13 through 27, Yethro's advice. Verse 13, the next day Moshe sat to rightly rule from morning until evening. It may be possible that Moshe had celebrated the Sabbath with Yethro and others, as it states here that the next day he went about his work or rightly ruling the people. The next day. So just think, could they have been keeping Shabbat? Could have been keeping the Sabbath? Because he would have did it that day. But it said the next day he went and worked and did the right ruling. They had not yet been given the Torah, and Yisrael had been used to being slaves and being told what to do. So the people would have been coming to Moshe with a question on almost any matter that they did not know how to deal with. Now that they were free, they did not know how to make decisions for themselves. They were so used of someone telling them what to do, how to do it, probably when to go to bed, when to wake up, that they was free and they didn't. It's like someone that's been incarcerated for years. You know, it's hard for them to adapt to society. It's so hard for them to adapt because they're so used to being told what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And it's almost a guarantee that those that has been incarcerated for over half of their life, when they get out, they go right back in because they can't adapt to society. They can't adapt to freedom. And the same thing with the children of Israel. They didn't know what to do. It was new to them. Psalms 1:1-2. Blessed is the man who shall not walk in the counsel of the wrong, and shall not stand in the path of sinners, and shall not sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the Torah of Yehovah. And he meditates in his Torah day and night. Blessed is the man, listen, that walks in the Torah, that stands in the Torah, that sits in the Torah. It's his delight. It's his delight to sit in it, to walk in it, to stand in it, and to meditate on it day and night, to meditate on this. Why? Because this brings freedom. This is freedom, doing his Torah, keeping his Torah. And let's not forget, he says, blessed. You're blessed when you keep. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed going in and coming out. And he said, those that keep his Torah is blessed. Meditating on the Torah day and night should be our delight. Now that we have been set free from slavery and bondage to man, blessed in the Torah should be our delight. Knowing that we have been set free from slavery. Listen, last Shabbat, he said he hoped that no one get tired of us saying this stuff. Because we're going to keep saying it over and over and over and over. Why? Because it is our delight. It's my delight. And if we say it enough, it's going to be your delight. Soon, if it's not. We're going to beat you over the head with it till he returns. So get used to it. I suggest you start loving it. But you got to love it. If you love it, it's going to be your delight. And you're going to meditate on it day and night. Why? Because it set us free from all the dogmas and man-made traditions. We have been set free from Mizraim. We have been set free from Egypt. We've been set free from someone telling us how to do it and when to do it. No, we grab hold of this and we're doing it how he tells us how to do it, when to do it, and how to do it. Not man. No longer do we need to walk in the wrong counsel and twisted and manipulative dogmas. For we have Moshe, the Torah, to consult day and night. As wonderful as this is for us today on a metaphorical level, there is much we can learn from these events on a physical and practical lesson too. In the remaining verse, we see the advice given by Yithro to Moshe, advice that was taken to heart and followed and brought a welcome relief. Listen. Now, Moshe could have caught an attitude. He could have caught the big head. Pride could have set in. But he walked so humbly. Easily could have told his father-in-law, where you was at when I went before Pharaoh? Where you was at when all these plagues was brought before Pharaoh? Where you was at when all these people was grumbling? And I had to listen to millions grumble. And now you coming to give me advice? While you was all sitting all pretty and doing and had nothing to worry about. And I had millions of lives to worry about. But he didn't. He was so humble. Listen, he took that advice. And he knew he needed that advice. Listen, without the download before that from Yehovah, he probably would have caught an attitude. He probably would have caught the pride would have set in. But it said it brought a welcome relief. Verses 14 through 15. Yithro could not believe just how busy Moshe was in having to answer every matter from morning to night. Yithro was not asking why Moshe was not relaxing, but rather why was no one else helping him judge. This was not a task that he should be doing alone. Moshe's answer was to simply say, because they come to me to seek Elohim. These people needed to be equipped on how to go about getting matters resolved and even learn how to seek Elohim themselves. I'm going to read that one more time. These people needed to be equipped on how to go about getting matters resolved and even learn how to seek Elohim themselves. Lessons we can learn today. Learn how to seek Elohim ourselves. Wait, let's get better. So many today are no different. All they want is for someone else to tell them what to do and will not take any responsibility in making decisions and face the consequences of the decisions they make. It is easier to blame someone else when they give you wrong advice or guidance, or so they think. Listen, it's good advice when it works out as you planned. But you go to someone, go to that person and they give you advice and it don't work out as you planned. Oh, then it's wrong. And then it's their fault. It was Moshe's fault. Huh. 30 years ago, y'all needed to hear this, huh? Is the truth. We must never make people dependent on us for their decision making, as that will just drain you mentally or physically. How we are to help people learn to seek Yehovah. However, we are to help people learn to seek Yehovah and teach them to be led by Yehovah through his word, and trust in Yehovah for all their needs. Did I read pastors anywhere in there? Not one. But yet that's who they run to seek to. What you think? Pastor, I remember when pastor said this. Oh, boy. Don't you know it mentally and physically drains them? Listen, and then you might have someone who's always asking you, what should I do or how should I do it? You yourself, just a coworker, a friend, a family member. No, listen, instead of giving them advice, say here, right here, all you need. I don't have the answer for you, but he does. I don't have the right advice for you, but he does. It's all right here. But they don't want this. No, because how dare they blame God if it don't work out? They want to blame you. But then they're not going to blame him. It's never his fault. It's always someone else's fault. It's that person's fault that gave me that advice. What are you doing? Why are you doing it alone? You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to give them that, what you think. Or what, it don't even matter what you think. It matters what Yehovah says. It matters what he thinks. This is the same question that you may need to be asked in our day. as the sad reality that has been ingrained into our Western way of thinking is that the pastor or priest will tell you what to do, and so many have not learned to govern themselves. According to the standards of the Torah, simply because of a lack of correct teaching and equipping. Simply because of a lack of correct teaching and equipping. Listen, there ain't no more. Well, we shouldn't be coming no more to pastor on what his advice or what his thinking is, because we have been getting well equipped with the teaching. Shouldn't be no more mental and physically draining on the pastors. Pastor. Because I don't get them questions. I'm just Pastor Josh. He the pastor. He get it all. And listen, sometimes when I hear the elementary questions, because, yeah, I hear them, I'm so glad it's him getting them. Which probably ain't right for me to say that, but I'm just telling the truth. So glad he gets the silly questions. Because that's what they are, elementary. I mean, come on, really? Now, I'm not saying that there is some things in here that we quite don't understand. That, yeah, go to him and ask. But when it comes to the elementary stuff, like, really? Come on now. Listen, this thing here is correct teaching and equipping us. That should take a load off of the pastor and his wife. Both of them. Because we've been getting well equipped with the teaching. We should be way past the elementary stage and the elementary question. Way past it. In one sense, those that are supposed to be teaching have done so erroneously with muddy water teaching, while on the other hand, most are reluctant to have to think for themselves and so place this burden onto someone who is in leadership. People don't want to think for themselves. They want you to think for them. But lo and behold, when you think for them and you give them this, oh my word, they don't want this. They don't want the truth, because the truth hurts. The truth hurts. But we need it. Listen, the truth hurt it this morning. Me, I'm talking about me when I got corrected upstairs before I came down there. It hurt it, but I needed it. And I thanked them for the truth before I came down here. But they don't want this. They don't want to think for themselves. They want you to think for them. Moshe was the man for the job. And now he had to realize that he needed some help. Moshe had to realize that he needed some help. And it's okay. You're not the man. You don't have to be the man every single day of your life or try to be the man. It's okay to need help. It's okay to want help. And Moshe had to realize that he needed that help. And he needed to seek out able men who could assist him. Yithro began to teach Moshe good leadership skills. Think about that. Yithro began to teach Moshe good leadership skills. The man who just delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt by the hand of Yehovah. Like, he needed leadership skills. Well, apparently because he was weighing himself down. And he had to realize that. He had to humble himself and come to that conclusion that, yeah, I do need help. Yithro began to teach Moshe good leadership skills that would facilitate a way to educate Yehovah's people on how to govern themselves by teaching them how to walk in the living principles and how to discern the way of living set apart lives through obeying Yehovah's instructions. by distinguishing between set apart and the profane, the clean and the unclean, and observing his Sabbath and feast days. Yitro tells Moshe that he should seek for men that were after Yehovah's heart, able men, men who had the fear of Yehovah and trusted Yehovah and hated unjust gain. That's able men. He just couldn't put any John or Tom in that place. He had to seek able men. Listen, he had to carefully see who was faithful. Men who's not on the sidelines. Remember? Wednesday night Bible study? Who's saying all the why this and why not? Or how they doing it this way? If I was in there, I wouldn't be doing it. Well, who's stopping you from being in there? Nobody's stopping you from being in there. Moshe couldn't put those kind of men in leadership. Why? Because they would have ruined the whole bunch. No. He had to be in a spot with Yehovah, praying and seeking to make sure he's finding the right able men. The same men as after his Yehovah's heart that fear Yehovah and trust it. And hated the unjust gain. Verse 21. Able men who fear Elohim, men of truth, men who hated unfair gain. As we see the clear advice being given to Moshe on what type of men were to be sought out, we are able to see from the letters that Shaul wrote to Timotheus and Titus how he two gave clear instructions on what characteristics or qualities a trustworthy overseer should have in order to be appointed to such a position. Listen to this passage. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 13. Trustworthy is the word. If a man longs for the position of an overseer, be careful. Be careful that you not say, oh, I want to be an overseer. I want to be the leader. I want to be the pastor. Because watch the qualifications. He desires a good work. An overseer then should be blameless. The husband of one wife. Sober. Sensible. Orderly. Kind to strangers. Oh boy. Able to teach, not giving to wine, no brawler, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and no lover of money. We're not finished. One who rules his own house well, having his children in subjection with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he look after the assembly of Elohim? Not a new convert, lest he become puffed up with pride and fall into the judgment of the devil. And he should even have a good witness from those who are outside. Meaning that he should have a good report from people that he's just around, passing by, or that just know him outside, meaning not in the church. A non-believer that still see good in someone. Lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, attendants. So that was the overseer. That was someone who wants to be in leadership. That's why you let Yehovah put the people in leadership that need to be in leadership, and you don't try to be Yehovah and put someone in leadership. Because you might think they fit all these qualifications, but Yehovah says, no, they don't fit all those qualifications. But listen, you don't sign up for that. But listen, likewise, attendance. That's y'all. Y'all listen. Y'all ain't getting off the hook either, because listen, are to be reverent. Not double-tongued. Anybody know what double-tongued means? Not giving too much wine. Not greedy for filthy gain. Holding to the secret of the belief with a clean conscience. Attendance. And let these also be proved first, then let them serve. If they are unreprovable, wives in the same way reverent, not false accusers, sober, trustworthy in every way. Let attendants be the husbands of only one wife, ruling children in their own houses well. For those who have served well as attendants gain good standings for themselves and much boldness in the belief that is in Messiah Yeshua. Able men and women. Titus 1:7-9. For an overseer has to be unreprovable as a managing one of Elohim, not self-pleasing, not wroth, not giving to wine, no brawler, not greedy for filthy gain, but kind to strangers, a lover of what is good, sensible, righteous, set apart, self-controlled, clinging to the trustworthy word. Clinging to the trustworthy word. You got to love this word. You got to cling to it with everything that is in you, with every fiber of your being. That's what an overseer has to do. So, if for some chance people think that pastors has it made, they better go read Timothy and Titus. Go read it. You think they need some help? Amen. Trustworthy word according to the teaching, in order to be able both to encourage by sound teaching and to reprove those who oppose it. Because that's the tough part. It ain't old me, he's mean, he don't care. No. It's his job to reprove those who oppose it. The above two passages are very clear as to the qualities of a man who is to be set over others in leadership as an overseer or attendant. One thing we must never forget is that in understanding true leadership according to Messiah, it is through serving others and not dictating over others. In an autocratic way, which the world teaches, being an overseer requires true humility of laying one's life down for the sake of the body and willing to serve in truth and with sound teaching, able to stand firm and encourage as well as reprove when necessary. Moshe was to look for able men. This is not simply men who might look the part on the outside, but men who have proven themselves. Listen, men who has been with you in the trenches. Men who has got down dirty with you when times got tough. Men that encouraged you, men that lift you up, men that walked and held true to the word of Elohim and didn't sway when the naysayers say you're going crazy. No, able men who proven themselves trustworthy and are able to stand strong in the height of adversity, resist temptation to bribery, and also be able to handle any criticism. You got to be able to handle criticism. You got to be able to let them say what they want to say. Let them say that you're crazy. Let them say that, oh, the church deserves someone better. Think about that. You got to be able to handle that criticism. After you done been here 30 plus years, all sweat, blood, and tears. You got to be able to handle that when someone tells you that. Someone who you love, at that. That's when it really stings. When it's someone that you love, care about. That certainly comes with the job of being a judge, as people generally resist being ruled over. Comes with the territory. You might say, well, I didn't sign up for it, but you did. You signed up for all that. Yeshua signed up for it. He got all that, then some. He died. He got beaten for it. Crucified. We just get some words thrown at us. He got hit with it. Think about it. You talking about an able overseer? What better one than our master? Huh? The Hebrew root word for able is ahil, chahil. Strong's H2428, which means strength, efficiency, wealth, army, ability, capability, and excellence. It comes from the root word hil, Strong's H2342, which means to be firm, strong, endure, and prosper. There are many today who desire the position of overseer in the kingdom and ought to be in the position given the length of time they have been walking according to the Torah. You want that position? Stay faithful to the Torah. Don't be wishy-washy. Can't make your mind up. If you want to keep this feast days, if you want to show up every Shabbat, if you want to eat clean things, all that's in here. I don't need to eat that. I've been eating this all my life. Well, keep on eating it. Keep on. Nobody can make you not want to eat it. But when you're sick, oh, you want that healing. You want that touch. But yet you don't want to obey what he's telling you what not to eat. Because it's not good for you. Keep eating it all your life. Watch how long you're going to live. Your life going to be short. Shorter than what it should have been. Walk according to the Torah. Yet sadly the fruit of their lives proves otherwise. And they are simply not qualified according to that which Yitro told Moshe to seek out. Talking about some good advice he got from his father-in-law. And by which Shaul lays out plainly for us in the above-mentioned passages, appointment of overseer was not to be done without careful thought and knowledge of the person in question. Not only careful thought, but careful prayer. Careful going to Yehovah over that person. Listen, he will set that overseer in place. He will give you the right help that you need at the right time. Because when you try to do it, guess what? You just brought more on you than what you can, than you was already bearing. Because he looked the part. People can look the part. They can look it. In the ancient pictograph script, the word for able, brave, and capable, Chayil, Strong's H2428, is written as follows. The het. The ancient script has this letter, as which is a tent wall, and carries a meaning of separation. as a tent wall separates two halves of the tent. Or it can also reflect the outside walls that separate the people inside from that which is outside, and so can also symbolize protection and security to those inside, while picturing a cutting off of those who are outside. Hence, this letter can mean established, secure, as well as cut off, separated from. As a tent wall, we are also able to recognize the picture of stones being built up to make a complete wall. The Yod. The ancient script has this letter, which is an arm and hand, and carries the meaning of work, make, or throw. From the primary functions of an arm and hand, and it also represents worship or giving thanks in the extending of hands as a gesture of this. The work of one hand is the basic meaning of this letter. The Lamed. The ancient script has this letter and is pictured as a shepherd's staff, can have the meaning of tool to war, and can represent that which pushes or pulls a flock in a direction, and can speak of authority or a yoke that is used to lead and guide, as well as the ability to bring back by authority. When we see these letters in the ancient script being used to describe someone who is considered brave and able, as well as true, a capable wife, we can certainly glean from this the following. The one who desires to be an able overseer in the body of Messiah is one who truly represents the one who has been separated as a living stone and has submitted to doing the work of obedient service, being led under the authority of our good shepherd and equipped to teach and lead others to maturity in Messiah. The capable wife, us, the bride. Yitro told Moshe to seek out able men who fear Yehovah. And the Hebrew word translated as fear is yare. Strong's H3373 means to fear, be afraid, reverence, and respect. And also is used as an adjective to describe one who is wise, and therefore giving us the better meaning of to stand in awe of, be awed, to reverence, honor, and respect. Psalms 147, verse 11. Yehovah takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who wait for his kindness. Here are a couple of well-known verses that make it very clear for us. Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of Yehovah is the beginning of wisdom. All those doing them have a good understanding. His praise is standing forever. The fear of Yehovah, the reverence of Yehovah, is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of Yehovah is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Those that don't want to, take heed to the correction. Nobody likes discipline. Kids don't like it. Adults hate it worse than kids. That's the truth. Adults hate discipline worse than kids. You give a kid a good whacking, you swear you broke their back. Go to screaming and crying. That's just how adults is when you get discipline from Yehovah or from the Word. You swear you're killing them when you give them a good whacking. Hate discipline. But he says you're a fool if you despise it. You got to love it. Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. How simple is that? And plain. The beginning of it is just get it. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of Yehovah is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the set apart one is understanding. Eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to want to know you more. That is asking him to give you wisdom and understanding. That is getting wisdom and understanding. The able and fearing men needed to be men of truth. The Hebrew word for truth is emeth, Strong's H571, which means truth, firmness, and faithfulness. And this word carries an underlining sense of certainty and dependability. And we know that the word of Yehovah is truth. Listen, Moshe had to find all these qualifications in these men. Listen, they needed to be faithful. They needed to be truth, firm. He couldn't put someone in leadership that's teaching opposite of what he's teaching. He couldn't put just, you know, anyone. No, they had to be faithful. And they had to be dependable. Psalms 119, 142. These are able men. Your righteousness is righteousness forever, and your Torah is truth. Psalms 119, 151. You are near, O Yehovah, and all your commands are truth. Psalms 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth, and all your righteous right rulings are forever. He had to find dependable men who was doing and keeping the Torah, the truth of Yehovah. Couldn't find men that wishy-washy, couldn't make their mind up. Didn't know if they loved the truth or not. Didn't know if they wanted to keep the Torah or not. No, they had to be dependable. Think about it. It's like Moshe didn't have enough on his plate. But now he's got to make sure that he put the right men in position. Listen, through careful praying, careful seeking Yehovah. Carefully. Anyone who claims to serve Yehovah without walking in and giving heed to follow his Torah, commands, and instructions are not serving in truth. And those who claim that the Torah or law of Elohim has been done away with are sadly riddled with the leaven of the hypocrisy of man's theologies and dogmas that seeks only to serve self rather than the giver of life while claiming the opposite. In the ancient pictograph script symbols of this word, we are giving a greater insight in understanding how Yeshua Messiah is the truth. This word, emet, Strong's H571, in the ancient scripts look like this. The Aleph. The ancient script has this letter and is pictured as the head of an ox. And it represents strength, meaning muscle. As the ox is the strongest of the livestock animals, this also carries the meaning of yoke. As an ox is placed in a yoke in order to plow or pull a heavy load in the right direction, this can also picture for us the red heifer sacrifice that Yeshua Messiah fulfilled. The Mem, the ancient script has this letter and is pictured as water and also carries the meaning of chaos from the storms of the sea and can also picture that which is mighty or massive as well as the unknown. We are also able to understand this letter as representing the nations, for the nations are often likened to the seas in scripture. The Ta, the ancient script has this letter, which is pictured as two cross sticks, and can represent for a seal, covenant, mark, or sign, as this once again points to the complete work of Messiah in the renewal of the covenant in his blood that brings the two houses of Israel and Yehuda together in him as one. For he is not only the Aleph, but is also the Tav, the beginning and the end of all creation. As we consider these letters in describing Messiah as being the truth, we are able to clearly see that it is by his strength and might that he has passed through the waters in order to secure for us his covenants of promise. Messiah is the Aleph and the Tau, the first and the last, who came from above, passing through the waters of the heavens and the earth in order to redeem us according to his word. Listen. That he has passed through the waters in order to secure us for his covenant of promise. Listen. Yeshua had to go through what he went through. He didn't go through what he went through because he needed it. No, he went through it because we needed it. We was not in covenant. We broke covenant. And it took his blood. It took his beating. It took his criticisms in order to give us back that, to get back in that covenant to Yehovah. He is the truth, and his word does not return empty. His word is truth, and his word leads us in his truth. His word lights our way, and as we walk in him, by walking in his word, we are assured that our feet are on his solid path. We are assured that our feet are on the right path. When a true servant who fears Yehovah serves in perfection and in truth, then the putting away of the falsehood that had been inherited from the past is done with urgency and without hesitation. Able-fearing and truthful men who hate unfair gain. The Hebrew word that word translated as hate is saint, sane, Strong's H8130, which means to hate, detest, and turn against. Hate what he hate, love what he love, detest what he detests, and turn against what he turns against. Able men. Listen, we have to be able men and women in here. And hate unfair gain. The Hebrew word translated as unfair gain is besa, Strong's H1215, which means gain made by violence, unjust gain or profit, dishonest gain, and is also understood as covetousness. What we can see here is that an able-fearing man of truth must hate covetousness and turn against any such gain that is unjust and dishonest. Proverbs 28:16. A leader who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but the hater of greed prolongs his days. Isaiah 33:15-16. He who walks righteously and speaks what is straight, he who rejects the gain of oppressions, who keeps his hands from accepting bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he shall inhabit the heights, stronghold of rocks be his refuge. His bread shall be given him, his water be steadfast. His water be steadfast. These appointed leaders would rightly rule the people, and this Hebrew word that's translated as rightly rule is shafat. Strong's H8199, which means to judge, govern, rule, pronounce judgment, and give law. And they would rightly rule and govern according to the clear instructions and rightly rulings of the one true judge, Yehovah I Elohim. Listen, we don't get up here and just say what we want to say or judge or rightly rule how we want it. We got to be careful. We got to do it according to Yehovah, according to our Elohim. So many times you want to give people a piece of your mind. No, you better stop giving people a piece of your mind because you need all your mind. You keep giving them a piece of your mind, then you ain't gonna be able to think right for yourself. Before you know it, you're just saying anything at the flip of a lip or the drop of a hat. Because you done gave everybody so much a piece of your mind, it's gone. Now you don't think before you speak. When you keep giving them a piece of your mind, you don't think no more. You just say it. Be careful. Be careful. To rightly rule the people of Elohim, one needs wisdom and understanding from Elohim. And this is what Shlomo asks Yehovah for in 2 Chronicles 1:10. You want to rightly rule people? Seek Elohim. Seek his wisdom and his understanding. You do that, then you can keep all your mind, all your pieces, your whole pie. Keep it. Now give me wisdom and knowledge so that I go out and come in before this people. For who is able to rightly rule this people before this great people of yours? Up until this point, there was no organizational structure, so to speak, in Yisrael, and most were possibly very reluctant to be told what to do. And so order needed to be established. As Yehovah is certainly an Elohim of order, and he used Yitro wisely to get Moshe to put some clear lines of communication and organization in place that would be beneficial to the entire nation, that would be effective in controlling the breakout of strife and contentions and make them responsible for one another and make everyone accountable to someone close to him. Yitro showed great wisdom here, and in verse 23, he tells Moshe to test that which he has been advised on by checking with Yehovah. What? Test. We tell this every time. Well, Pastor probably says a lot more than me. Test what we're saying. Go to his word. If it don't line up, then come tell us. But if it lines up, then know that we're on the right path. We're on solid foundation. But don't just take our word for it. Well, Yitro was saying, hey, Moses, don't take my advice. Go take it up with Yehovah. See if it lines up. Everything I'm saying, see if it lines up with his word. By checking with Yehovah, as Yitro clearly understood that he cannot give advice contrary to the will of Yehovah. And Moshe shows us that he was a great listener and can certainly tell us what to do as he too did what he was told. A great attribute of a great leader. You want to know if you got a great leader? See if you can tell him something and he'll listen to it. But you got some of them leaders. You go to tell them something, it go one in one ear and out the other. You can't tell them what to do. You got them leaders that know it all. Been there, done that. You just an attendant. What we can take from this chapter is certainly the great qualities of leadership, advice, humility, hospitality, submission, and eagerness to do all that is according to the will of Yehovah. That's what chapter 18 was. Yitro means his excellency and is very fitting, for he was used in a mighty way by Yehovah to not only teach Moshe how to be a good shepherd while he looked after Yitro's sheep for 40 years and sat under the teaching of the Torah that clearly Yitro displays as having great knowledge of, but also at this point by calling the nation of Israel to walk in the spirit of excellency within the Torah, Moshe, as its foundation. Moshe had learned a great deal from this man who lived according to the standards of excellency that is called for set apart children of the Most High. And so just as David was brought from shepherding sheep to shepherding Israel, so too was Moshe, and was now giving greater instruction on how to do this efficiently and not be worn out. Psalm 78:71 is the last line. He's about to give me the new CD. Psalm 78:71. He brought him in from tending the ewes to shepherd Yaakov his people and Yisrael his inheritance. Hallelujah. So you can see in chapter 18 how we got some work. We got some work to do. And I'm thankful. I am so thankful for his Torah, for his learning, especially this leadership. I needed that. I need that. I need work. Especially according to Timothy and Titus. He's good to us. Amen. I'm so sorry for the heater not being on. Because if it was, I was probably telling them, get that second CD ready. Now I'm just playing. He's good. Amen. Let's stand. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, the air conditioner.